It's the Big Show on 3BA 102.3. More music, more variety, more Ballarat.
Time to shoot the breeze with Alex Helios from the bigsmoke.com.au. Morning to you, Alex.
Hello, how are you?
I'm very well. Is the sun shining up there on Sydney Harbour?
It's a little bit grey, but still beautiful.
Oh, lovely. We've got plenty of sunshine down here. Love the sun. Although we are in the last week of summer, so make the most of it, hey?
Yeah.
Do you get much vitamin D, do you, Alex?
I was actually just saying to someone this morning that I should be in the sun more and get some, you know, colour that's not just from a bronzer bottle.
With, oh my Lord, with a balcony like yours, it would be going to waste if you're not...
I do sit out there a lot, but I don't sun, like I don't stay in the sun a lot.
Right, fair enough. Well, you shouldn't stay in the sun for an inordinate amount of time. You don't want to get skin cancer or anything like that.
Well, also, when I was a kid, I used to sunbathe all the time, so really I'm just very careful now.
You're very aware.
Yeah.
How to be funny at work and on Zoom meetings without upsetting anyone? What's the research found out here, young Alex?
It's difficult, isn't it? To be funny at work and not upset people.
It is.
Well, one person's, you know, facetious joke is another person's offensive morning.
Mm.
So it just really depends. You know, this is research that's coming across a number of different workplaces alongside a lot of different leaders. So people talking about what happens when people try to be funny at work and what also happens with colleagues when they interpret how their colleagues are trying to be funny. And one of the biggest problems is people who try to be funny through shock value. So that's a little bit akin to the Office type humour, the show The Office, and people trying to be like that. And often the perception from your colleagues is not this guy is so witty and what an oddball, but they're thinking, oh, I can't believe he said that. And that tends to be the perception. So the research looked into testing your jokes to run them past trusted friends or co-workers to see if they're actually funny or they're prone to unintended interpretation. But also don't be too self-deprecating. In Australia, we can be very self-deprecating.
Yep.
And that works well when you're the boss. It doesn't work well when you're not. It sometimes changes the way people look at you and it also changes the way people talk about you. But also, don't be too, this is good for me, don't be too dark. Like, don't go too dark with your jokes, which I tend to do.
Right, I'm in the same boat. I'll tell you the other thing here too, Alex, that I've noticed is that there's a big difference in people's sense of humour between the older and younger generations. The younger generations just stand there going, what?
Well, I have a really good example. We were recently on a Zoom call with the company and the guy in HR made a joke. The person being interviewed said that he'd been in Iceland for a number of years. And the HR guy said, well, you know, I've heard, I don't know much about Iceland, but I've heard they're very cold people. And the guy being interviewed didn't realise it was a joke and went into the perception of people who are cold or not demonstrative through a 15-minute conversation about how perception of Iceland.
And he didn't realise how funny he was being.
No.
Yeah. Inadvertently. Moving on, Alex Helios from thebigsmoke.com.au. Talk to me about my daily cup of coffee and the impacts it's having on my brain.
This is cool. So it's studies that looked into caffeine consumption.
No, it's hot actually, Alex, because coffee's hot, not cool.
Well, no, that's not true. Sometimes you can have iced coffee.
Well, that's, yeah, sorry, cold, yes.
Cold drip coffee.
I retract.
So this is about studies looking into the impact, and they actually found that there wasn't as much of an impact on sleep quality, which contradicts a lot of previously held beliefs. So that's fantastic. But what they did find is that it does alter the structure of the grey matter in your brain. So they appear to be temporary, and even just having 10 days of no coffee can help reverse this. But it's really important to understand that even though caffeine consumption shows that it can impact our cognitive hardware, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's a negative. So what I'm saying is, even though there's functional magnetic resonance in the imaging and, you know, you're looking at it and it looks different, that doesn't mean that it's a negative impact on our brain.
Mm, okay, well, I'll just continue on with my daily 27 cups of coffee then.
Keep drinking. Well, I'm not saying how much coffee to drink. I'm just saying that don't let research like this scare you. What's interesting about the research is the correlation between what we consume and altering grey matter in our brains.
All righty. There's not a lot left of mine anyway, so it doesn't matter how much coffee I drink. Let's wrap up this morning, Alex, with this. I absolutely love this guy. I love this story. A 90-year-old man has spent $10,000 of his own money on commercial advertising, complaining about his slow internet. Did he get his provider's attention, Alex Chelios?
Yeah, so this is a great story of a guy in America who's 90 years old. He was annoyed. He was triggered by the fact that he's been trying to call AT&T, which is their version of Telstra, and saying to them, you know, my internet's not working, it's not loading, and during the pandemic it's a real problem. And he got triggered by the fact that they were, at the same time as not responding to him, were running ads about having the best fiber optic cables and how they had the best and the fastest internet in the whole of America. So he took his $10,000 and wrote an open letter to the CEO of AT&T, basically shaming them for their poor service and their poor internet footage. My favorite part of the story, though, is his wife, who had to sit there and roll her eyes at the draft of her husband's ad and corrected his grammar. And then they did the letter, they sent it out to the newspaper, they published it, and then the CEO of AT&T reached out and within a day sent two people over to fix the internet and get faster service. And, you know, it's a shame you have to go through that to get that kind of service, but I thought it was quite funny.
Absolutely. I love that story. Love him. Although I don't have 10 grand spare in my back pocket to complain through commercial advertising to get a better internet service, but mine's pretty good, I've got to say. Alex Chelios, always a pleasure to shoot the breeze. We'll do it again next week, eh?
Yeah,